You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Monday, September 17th, another week here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage, whether it's the offseason, it's the upcoming preseason or training camp, the regular season, all the way through to the playoffs, the draft, and free agency. We have it all right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast, your home of Kings coverage, Kings talk, interviews, all you could possibly want. If you call yourself a Kings fan, you made the right decision. You are in the right place here at the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host. Welcome back to those loyal listeners who always choose to make this podcast their Kings hub and home. We do not take it for granted. And welcome into everybody who is new. We hope that you choose to spend your daily life here with us on this Locked On Podcast Network. I have the privilege of being your host. Like I said, I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Today, things are a bit all over the place. Have a couple of minor topics to tackle. Today's going to be kind of a short episode. We're probably going to have four podcasts this week, believe it or not. So you can be excited and joyous about that as we approach the start of training camp. I have a couple scheduled interviews coming for you, trying to work out the details behind all of them. Expected to have Grant Napier, TV voice of the Sacramento Kings, joining me sometime either tomorrow or the next day for that podcast to be released. Jason Ross, former host of this podcast and current radio broadcaster for the Sacramento Kings. He will be joining me towards the end of this week because he is going to be returning and hosting all of next week's podcast for you as I'm going to be out of town. I'll give you more information about that later on in the week. What can you expect from today's podcast? I have some comments to share with you from De'Aaron Fox, who appeared on Danny Green's podcast, Inside the Green Room. Danny Green, an NBA player. I love that NBA players are starting to take up podcasting and starting to use platforms and share their own stories and not just be someone who comes on and is interviewed, but someone who is actually doing the interviewing and speaking with their peers. It just gives you an insight and it lets you sit in on a conversation that you normally wouldn't be privy to. And I love that more and more athletes are starting to do this. CJ McCollum, another one of those as well. But De'Aaron Fox, who was hosting a bowling tournament in his hometown in Houston, actually was on and appeared on the podcast, had some very interesting things to say, some fun things to say, but also some good stuff that we're going to break down in regards to his play last year and even his freshman year at Kentucky. He also weighs in on the 2018-2019 Rookie of the Year race. So we'll touch on that and listen to all of that and hear it straight from his mouth as well here in just a little bit. Before we get to that, though, I came across this interesting Reddit post that I tweeted out. If you follow me on Twitter or find me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, you can check this Reddit post out. It was basically someone went through all of the major Twitter fan groups for all 30 NBA teams and created a graph based off of the general feel of what they got for how fans were reacting to their team, their offseason going into next season. And I thought, when I first read this, I thought I was going to scroll down and see a majority of negativity for the Sacramento Kings. I was actually surprised to see that about almost 75% of fans, according to this graph, of the Kings that are active on social media on Twitter are actually positive about this team going into next year. And then it breaks it down into more specific. Some are more hopeful. Some are more pleased, optimistic. There's also sad, frustrated, angry. If you go and check this out right now, I highly encourage you to do so. Again, it's on my Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can see how everybody is feeling and what everybody is thinking in general on social media about this team. And I was relatively pleased to see it being the optimist that I am. So I encourage you to go check that out. It's a lot of fun. A good little flip through, some fun to weigh in and find out where you fall on that graph and if you think it's accurate or not. Part of me thinks that maybe whoever did this study missed a lot of the Twitter accounts that I interact with, because my experience on King's social media, which I am privy to every day and I get to interact with on a daily basis, the majority of people that I interact with have not been pleased with this offseason, are frustrated with the moves that Vlade has made, are questioning the future of this front office and the where this team and how successful this team is going to be next year. So I was surprised and somewhat happy to see the results there. So dive in, break that down, enjoy that. I thought it would be fun to share here on this podcast network. Let's not break any or waste any more time, though. A quick pause for you, and then we'll come back with De'Aaron Fox's comments from his bowling tournament in Houston as he appeared on Danny Green's Inside the Green Room podcast.
So originally your number was zero because you don't fear anybody.
And Westbrook, my favorite, my current favorite player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Westbrook is your current favorite player. Yeah. But you didn't fear Westbrook when you first saw him on the court.
Oh no, no, I don't fear anybody. Mm-hmm. You're playing against the best now. You can't go out there and be scared.
Yeah. So did you chop it up with Westbrook? Did you talk a little smack when you play against him, or is it you have so much respect that you can't?
Oh no, no, no. You can have respect for somebody, but it still gets intense. People still gonna talk. So of course, you know, we talk back and forth a little bit, but I mean, I have a respect level for him just because he's my favorite player. But I mean, I'm gonna go at him when we're on the court.
If there's any word that I could use to describe De'Aaron Fox, not his physical ability as a basketball player, but his mindset and mentality, it's fearless. And De'Aaron genuinely lives by the comments that he made there in that clip that I just paid for you. He's not afraid of anybody, and he hasn't been afraid from the get-go. And I was worried when I initially interacted with him and interviewed him and spoke with him, and we got the access to him that we got on Media Day last year. Someone asked him that very question of, is there anything you're nervous about, anything you're worried about heading into your first season? He came out and was very confident and bluntly just said, you know, I'm not scared of anything. Nothing frightens me. I'm here for a reason. I'm ready to get my job done. I believe that I can be the best, and I am the best, and I'm going to go out and prove it. And he's done that almost his entire career. Well, at least over this last year, and that stayed consistent through his locker room post-game comments that he made. De'Aaron is very confident in his abilities and is not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anybody in the NBA. He's ready to take on challenges. He's ready to also admit when he doesn't play well or when he's beaten, but relishes any competition that he can, wants to play the best, to beat the best, so that he can be the best. And you see that right away and hear that right away in these comments that he made. I like that his favorite player is Russell Westbrook. I actually didn't know that going into this, so I learned that little nugget, which I thought was interesting. This makes me want to pay attention more to Fox versus Westbrook next year. Fox mentioned a little bit of fun trash talk between the two as well, which always happens, but Fox definitely has a respect there for Russell, and it's hard not to respect Russell Westbrook. You can talk about his sometimes selfishness, his way that he ball hogs or stat stuffs, and many people I know do not like or are not fans of Russell Westbrook's game, but the mentality that Russell Westbrook has, the somebody stop me, very Marshawn Lynch-like, to put it in football terms, someone that is just not afraid to go at you on a nightly basis, plays hard, plays with energy, plays with hustle, and shuts people down. Someone that's not afraid to go right at contact and to tell people in their face, look them dead in the eye and say, stop me. I dare you to try and stop me. De'Aaron Fox wants to embrace and add that part to his game. He wants to be that aggressive guard that can attack the basket. I also think De'Aaron Fox has an ability to be a better passer and overall facilitator than Russell Westbrook is. But if you want to choose any idol for in today's NBA, in the modern NBA, for what kind of point guard other than Chris Paul, which Fox has also mentioned, he wants to be like Chris Paul in a lot of ways earlier on this offseason, Russell Westbrook is certainly not a bad pick. So love these comments by De'Aaron Fox. Thought it was fun that he mentioned that Russell was his favorite player. I'm interested in seeing the two of them go at it now next year, because I'm sure Russell will get wind of this in some way, shape, or form. But good on De'Aaron Fox for not being afraid, not wanting to back down, and for embracing the mentality of the beast, Russell Westbrook. Here's more of Fox on the podcast talking about the inspiration behind his iconic hairstyles.
You like in Dragon Ball Z with your hair? Is your haircut kind of inspired by it? That I see it on the poster, on the advertisement for this bowling event. You kind of play with it a little bit.
I mean, I play with it, but my hair wasn't. That's not why. Yeah. So. Like, I would say last time I cut my hair was probably like junior year, but I was just growing it out. Like, I would start twisting it, let it go, and it started getting spiky, and I'm like, I dig that. So yeah. I kept doing it. Now my hair is super long, and that's what people think it is.
Yeah.
But no matter what I tell people, they're not going to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it really wasn't inspired by that, but I mean, I see where they get it from, and it's cool though. You know, people love it. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people tell me not to cut my hair. Some people tell me I need to cut this bush off my head, but
ain't happening.
Nah, that ain't happening no time soon.
I'm a big video game guy. I love NBA 2K. I look forward to it coming out, and I playing it every single year. Thanks to everybody who was part of the NBA 2K giveaway last week. It was very successful, and hope to be able to do more 2K and just giveaways in general on this podcast network in the future. I want to reward you guys for the loyalty that you show, not just this team, but this podcast network. But De'Aaron Fox is an avid gamer himself, actually has a gaming YouTube channel and a Twitch channel, and he talked about what kind of games he likes to play and why NBA 2K isn't really on his list.
What's your ranking for this 2K?
I don't even know, man, because I didn't ask my rating. I mean, ever since I got in the league, I don't really play 2K that often. Mm-hmm. You know, you be around basketball so much. I just
try to take a break. You play Black Ops?
Yeah, I play Call of Duty. I play Fortnite a little bit. I play like God of War. I like to play games that I don't do that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to shoot about. I don't want to come from practice and then put on some more basketball, so that's why I kind of stay away from 2K a little bit.
Hurts my heart a little bit hearing De'Aaron Fox say that. I love NBA 2K, but I can understand. After playing basketball in real life all the time, the last thing you want to do is come home and in virtual world play more basketball. I get that. I understand that. Still hurts my heart a little bit, though, De'Aaron. I'll file that away with your anti-in-and-out comments. But let's get to basketball stuff. That stuff was fun little nuggets that I wanted to squeeze in here. But two major basketball things that Fox talks about on the podcast. The first is breaking down his Rookie of the Year race, who he thinks has the edge, at least between two Sacramento Kings, Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles.
Who's more likely to win Rookie of the Year, Harry Giles or Marvin Bagley?
Out of the two? So it's depending on minutes right now, but I mean, I would have to say Harry. You know, he's going through a whole year of, you know, this NBA stuff, kind of like Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He went through a whole, but Ben, you know, didn't do anything because, you know, his knee was hurt. You know, Harry was more so rehabbing and making sure he's ready, but he went through everything with us, you know, like this, scrimmages. So he's kind of used to that. He's kind of used to the NBA physicality and speed, but he's not, you know, he hasn't had the intensity of a game yet. But he'll definitely be able to adapt to it because he's a year older than Marvin, and he's also has a year of, you know, experience basically in the NBA. You know, he's a rookie, but he's not a rookie. So I would definitely think they're both great players, but just from the experience, and that experience plays a large role in the NBA. So I would have to go with Harry out of the two.
We saw it last season with Ben Simmons and ultimately over Donovan Mitchell for the 2017-2018 Rookie of the Year, but it really is a distinct advantage, not one that I'm willing to hold against rookies when they get to sit out a year and the Kings taking the safe route by keeping Harry Giles out and keeping him in practice. Seemingly so far seems to be paying off, although he has been competing and traveling with this team and working with this team. So it doesn't surprise me at all that De'Aaron would pick Harry over Bagley. I would do the same thing between the two of them. Ultimately, Bagley has a bit further of a ways to go, has things to figure out, has to get his body underneath him, whereas Harry Giles has been working on that stuff at an NBA level with an NBA team, not to mention embracing the travel schedule and going through it all over the last year. So I definitely would give Harry Giles the distinct advantage, as does De'Aaron Fox. I'm really excited to see both of them play ultimately. I think it's time that we give credit where credit is due to how the Sacramento Kings organization as a whole handled the Harry Giles situation from top to bottom. You think about their ability to get him late in the first round, someone saying that it could potentially be one of the biggest steals in recent history in the NBA. Hopefully it does turn into that, but a team that right away didn't want to rush anything with him, they recognized how much talent they already had in the front court at the power forward and center position, so there really was no need to rush him back anyway, but did diligently taking their time to work him back into things, having him practice, having him rehab the right way, get the strength underneath him. And the best indication that you can get that things were successful and that the Kings did it the right way was what we saw in Summer League and in the California Classic. It wasn't necessarily him blowing us out of the water. What was more important to me than seeing maybe Harry Giles put up 15 points and pull down 8 boards a night in Summer League was seeing him play a large amount of minutes and doing so comfortably without showing any signs of fatigue or soreness or fear or anything like that. And we got that. We got clear indications from that
right out of the way. I remember being in the scrum interviewing Harry Giles following his debut during the California Classic against the Lakers. And one of the things that he said that I absolutely loved was he came out and said, I got hit in the mouth early on and I got hurt, cut up a little bit. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to get bumped. I wanted to get pushed around. I wanted to get back into physical competition, see how my body held up so that I can bring that confidence into my next matchup and then my next matchup. And Harry did not play limited minutes. He played a lot of minutes during Summer League, more minutes than Marvin Bagley, more minutes than a lot of other Kings did, which I absolutely appreciate. The team threw him out there, said, all right, show us what you got. Let's see how healthy you really are. And he held through. I don't necessarily expect him to be a starter at the beginning of next season, but I expect him to get a general increase of minutes as the season goes on. And if he can make it through this entire year healthy, which I think he can, and he seems confident that he can, he won't have any injury problems or major injury problems, I should say, like he had in college and late in high school. If he can manage that, it's been an absolute home run success by this organization and a clear indication that their training staff, the front office in general, did the right thing and did right by Harry to get him as ready for the NBA as they possibly could. So I applaud the Kings organization. I applaud Harry Giles for showing that that hustle, that energy, and not taking for granted that year that he was sidelined on the bench. We heard so many comments from whether it was Vince Carter or Garrett Temple or really all of his teammates. How hard he was working and how polished his game was and how he was going to take the NBA by storm once he was ready. Good on Harry Giles for not giving up, for working hard, for battling back, and for showing that hustle energy that has already made him a fan favorite. And I'm so excited, so looking forward to seeing Harry play consistently on a nightly basis at the NBA level next season. It's going to be fantastic. He deserves a fantastic ovation when he takes the floor for the first time on opening night against the Utah Jazz. There should be a lot of Harry Giles jerseys by the end of this season. Fans will be lining up to purchase his jersey in the Kings store. I'm very excited to see how he does. But De'Aaron Fox, it's still his team. And I've said this a number of times. Even though Marvin Bagley was the number 2 overall pick this year and Fox was the number 5 pick last year, De'Aaron Fox is still the guy that everybody, whether it's fans in the front office, they're looking at him and saying, okay, it's your team going forward. This is going to be your group of guys. We expect this from you. We want this to be your group. You are the foundation of what we are trying to build. Go out there and prove it to us. Prove that you can be it. And he's ready to take that leap this year. But De'Aaron Fox, like I said, he's fearless and he's not afraid of criticism, and he admits himself here in this next clip that I'm about to play for you that he is his own biggest critic. And I think you'll be surprised to hear what he has to say about not just his rookie season in the NBA last year, but even his freshman season at Kentucky. Take a listen.
Speaking of basketball, your rookie season, how did you feel when it came to the time where awards were coming out and it was Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, and we didn't hear your name in those list of candidates? And what have you been doing this summer to kind of make sure that your name is in there for sophomore of the year, even though it's not in the world?
For myself, honestly, the last 2 years, freshman year at Kentucky and my rookie season in the NBA, I don't think I played well.
Oh, really?
I don't think I played well at all. I mean, I shot, 25% from three in college and averaged 17 points and still, top 5 pick. I don't feel like I played well at all. And then this year, I feel like there were times where I struggled. I feel like there were, like 2 or 3 months where I had really good stretches of game. So I feel like I haven't played to the best of my ability, and I've been getting in the gym, getting in the weight room. Some, you really got to, really have to transform your body, playing in the NBA. So I've been doing that, getting up a lot of shots. I don't have to work on my handle that much. I don't have to work on my speed. That stuff's there. My athleticism there. So I get in the gym and I work on stuff that I know I need to work on. When I was in high school, I was scoring a lot of points because I made a lot of jump shots. And to last in this league, especially at the point guard position, you've got to make jump shots. So that's something I really need, that I know I'm going to need to do. And I'm my hardest critic. So
I love that, man. I love that he does not beat around the bush. I love that he does not shy away from criticism. He is aware of the weaknesses of his game and clearly is working hard and embracing them and trying to fix them and to turn things around. I've always loved De'Aaron Fox's mentality and his mindset. He knows as well as all of us know that he needs to add an outside shot to his game. He needs to work on that jumper if he wants to take that next step and play at that next level. I'm surprised. I was genuinely surprised to hear what he said. I figured he would be a little critical of himself based off of how he played his rookie year, but his freshman year at Kentucky ultimately was what landed him at the number 5 overall pick, and he had a great year, played well in the national tournament, outdueled UCLA and Lonzo Ball. A lot of fans and in general, not just Kings fans, were high on him from the get-go when he joined the NBA last year. A bit of a rocky start, ups and downs that he went through, but had some great moments, including some a handful of clutch moments. So there's enough there to see the potential and see the positives going forward. But for De'Aaron, the hunger is there. It wasn't enough for him. He's ready to show that he can do more, ready to prove that he is not just worthy of the top five pick, that he should have been worthy of a top three or number one overall pick. He wants to be the man, and that's why he's so excited and he's embraced Sacramento so much, as he knows that they're looking at him and hopeful that he can be that. And he knows that to get to that point, there are still certain roadblocks in his way. He knows that he needs to become a better overall ball handler, needs to make smarter decisions when attacking the rim, needs to be a better playmaker and passer and allow the game to come to him a little bit more and get his teammates more involved. And most importantly, like he mentioned in the clip, he needs to add that outside shot to get defenders to respect him so that he can get the daylight to use that speed to attack the basket and to draw fouls. It's a complete package, but you'll be surprised how many things fall in line with the others. As soon as you add the outside shot, it becomes easier to attack the basket. When it becomes easier to attack the basket, defenders rotate on you, which opens up outside shots for other people, which opens up his playmaking ability to get better looks and more assists from open shots from his bigs or from a Bogdan Bogdanovic or a Buddy Hield on the perimeter. These things just play off of one another. Another one that I want to add onto there that I'm hoping to see him improve at this year is becoming a pesky ball handler. On-ball defender, someone who is going to meet you at half court and is going to make life difficult for you, even if you're just trying to simply dribble and get a play going and find some open space. I would love to see De'Aaron become kind of that pest on the defensive end of the floor. These are all things that he recognizes that he can do better at. He's going to put in the effort. He has the desire. He has the will. And it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what anybody says on social media. That's not going to affect him and get into his head as much as his own voice and his own desire saying you are better than this, you can be better than this, and I think that comes through perfectly in those comments that he said. So a short interview that he did on that podcast, on Danny Green's podcast, Inside the Green Room. But I hope you enjoyed that. It was fun to hear those comments. It made me, encouraged me, really, to hear him say the things that he said, firing me up even more for next season. I expect this to be a big breakout year for De'Aaron Fox. I am hoping that by April, by May, by the end of next season, whether the Kings are a playoff team or not, we can go into next summer saying definitively De'Aaron Fox is ready to be a star in this league, and he is ready to be the leader and the foundation of this team going forward. And based off those comments, I believe he knows that he can do it, and I believe that he will be able to do it. I wanted to mention really quick before we wrapped up, this came across my Twitter timeline over the weekend, and I saw a lot of people not really overreacting to it, which is a good thing. So I thought I'd bring it here to the podcast to clarify from what information that I've received and what I've heard and my general feelings on the entire situation. We know Bogdan Bogdanovic is a very active ball player all over the world. This is his first major period of time, or following the end of the NBA season until this summer, was the first major period of time that he didn't have some layer or level of professional basketball going on for over a year. Bogey is just a gym rat and been playing basketball in the European scene and the national scene and then in the NBA back to back to back. So naturally, there's going to be some wear and tear there. Earlier on this summer, he had a very minor surgery on his knee that he was feeling some little stiffness and soreness in. He actually recently then has been competing in some national competition and has been experiencing some soreness or some pain that could be sidelining him for a little bit. So the only news that we've had is that his national team doctors took a look at his knee and discovered that he was experiencing some soreness and some pain and decided that it wasn't serious, but they were going to take an extra look at it and hold him out for a little while. So I would not be surprised if eventually the Sacramento Kings step in and say, look, we know you like to play. We know you have this pride and you want to play for this national team, but we need to think about next season, and obviously you're a major part of our plans going forward, so we're going to need to shut you down. But I haven't heard anything serious to express any fear that he might not be or will not be ready to go or able to go at the start of the season. If anything, that is not the case whatsoever. Training camp might be some question marks, how ready he is going to be and how if he's going to be able to play at full capacity. But as, in terms of being ready to go by the start of the regular season and being ready to play big minutes and embrace the role that I'm expecting him to get at the, as the starting three on this team, I haven't gotten any reason to believe or any indication that he will not be ready to go for that. So anybody that's seen that come across their timeline and wanted to get worried a little bit about Bogey not being healthy, that's what I've heard, and that's the case of things going forward. Of course, if there's any more information, I'll be sure to bring it to you right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. So we are going to be trying and efforting to get Grant Napier, TV play-by-play voice of the Kings, on. We're either going to record that tomorrow and it'll be out on Wednesday, or we'll record it on Wednesday and it'll be out on Thursday, and then on Friday's episode, we will have Jason Ross joining us, and Jason will be taking care of things on the Locked On Kings podcast next week. Some news for you, in case you don't know. I am going to be getting married this weekend. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Definitely marrying up from what I'm look based off of my, let's just say based off my looks, there's a reason why I work in radio and I work in podcasting and not in television. But I'm proud and happy to say that I'm going to be getting married this weekend, and I will be on my honeymoon next week. So while I am gone, Mr. Jason Ross will be taking things over just like old times, and we'll be doing a couple of podcasts for you. So I hope that you enjoy that while he'll be on. He and I will talk back and forth on Friday, and I'll give you more details on that when we are coming up to it. So don't you worry about that. Again, anytime you can help us out on the podcast by heading to the iTunes store and leaving a quick review out of 5 stars and just typing up a quick blurb about what you like or what you don't like, things you want improved, anything like that, it helps us out a lot. Share this podcast with your friends as we get closer to the regular season. We want to see those numbers come up and more people get involved in the conversation. I truly, firmly believe this is not just an act that I put on as the optimist. I firmly believe that this team is going to be better and more fun to watch than people give it credit for. I'm looking forward to being in the arena each and every single night to watch. Unfortunately, because of the honeymoon and the wedding, I'm going to miss media day. So Jason will be out there, and hopefully we'll be able to get you clips and things like that as well. So as we count down the start to this season, man, my excitement just gets bigger and bigger and more excited, and I hope you are feeling the same way. I will talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Thank you again for listening, and thank you to all of those. Welcome. If you are new, I appreciate you taking the time. I will talk to you soon. Until next time, my name is Matt George. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.